Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay ba kayo? Well, I know I mentioned it earlier today that we'll start at 1:15, but since everyone is here, okay lang ba sa inyo that we start now? So we can, okay, let's commit this time to the Lord this afternoon. Father, we thank you for our learning yesterday and today. Lord, I thank you, God, and even recognize, Lord, that, Lord, it's been your grace, your power, your strength in our lives, oh God, to be able to do what you've called us to do. And so, Father, I pray that this afternoon that it will be a time of learning, it will be a time of impartation, and also a time of just learning from one another, oh God. And we commit this time to you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Well, it's so good to be here. I know you had the long day yesterday, and today you had an amazing time with Pastor Noel. Right now, I'd like to talk about leadership. Pastor Orly was kind of jokingly telling me, kala namin that you were going to teach prophetic, and now I'm going to talk about leadership. But I started teaching actually prophetic only about 3 years ago when I came here. But before that, all I did was really teach on leadership because that was my role, diba, as a senior pastor everywhere I went. So it was always leadership. So in a sense, I'm happy that I can talk about this again because this is who I am. You know, I'd like to talk about leadership, discipleship, but because our leadership team has asked me to do prayer and prophetic, and I love doing that as well. But anyway, I just said all that to let you know that I'm just so privileged to be here to teach you. And our topic for today will be leadership sustainability. What does it mean to walk in leadership for a long, long time? Because yun naman yung ano natin, di ba? We want to maintain our leadership and we want to continue to be strong many years from now. And I'd like to teach you how some principles on how to sustain that type of leadership. Anybody here has been pastoring more than 10 years? Anyone here? More than 10 years. Okay, just one. So Joseph, ilan years ka na, Joseph? How many years? 14 years. Wow. Give him a big hand. 14 years. Wow. Sino dito just a year, 2 years? Anybody here? Yes, we have Jerome and, wow, most of you that are here. Well, I feel, you know, I've been in ministry for 28 years, I think. 27, 28 years. And I started pastoring when I was 23 years old. And I had no idea what I was doing when I became senior pastor. Pastor Steve asked me to help in the process of planting the churches in Dagupan. Joseph was a kid when I went to Dagupan. And so that was 27 years ago. And I remember when I went to Dagupan, the first Sunday that I preached, only one person attended. That was so encouraging, you know. My first message and the first person, we had the worship team and only one person attended. So that was exciting. I was in Dagupan for 1 year and learned a little bit in Dagupan. But let me say that Pastor Steve actually told me to learn everything while in Dagupan. And I said, what if I make a mistake? And Pastor Steve kept saying, you will make mistakes. In fact, you'll have so much mistakes. And through your mistakes, you should learn from your mistakes. So sabi ko, wow, okay. So 1 year in Dagupan, left that church. And that church, when I left, I think it was waiting for me to leave. Because when I left, the church started to grow. So it was about, when I left, it was 150. And then in a span of a few months, I think the church started to grow to 200, 250 with Pastor Fred Abad, and then Pastor Jonas took over after him. And of course, the rest is history. The church now in Dagupan is flourishing and growing. And then after that, I was in Baguio for 7 years and really, really learned a lot there. And I'm going to share some of the experiences I had in Baguio. Will that be okay? And then, after that, went back here, helped with Pastor Steve, planted the church, which is now what we call Galleria Church. It was Valle Verde Church. We were planting that. There were two church plants, Music Museum and Valle Verde, and learned a bit there, and then went to Alabang, just for a few years, went there for 4 or 5 years, and then after that, started traveling, and then planted the church in Malaysia, Penang, Malaysia. So all of these things I'm mentioning to let you know that that I've had the experience, but also had so many mistakes, and still in the process of learning. So I appreciate you guys, because you have staff dev, because during our time there was no staff dev. Can you imagine in the Gupan, we had to create our own messages. That was so hard because we didn't have any email or internet that people could send. That's why when we would gather and hear Pastor Steve preach, oh God, grabbing notes namin kay Pastor Steve, ang dami. So yung baon namin, yung preaching namin will be everything that Pastor Steve preached. So every 2 months, we would get all the notes from Pastor Steve, and we would, sorry guys, I started early. So we would get all the notes. So yun yung ano na, sariling sikap yun. In the early days, money was hard. Our offering baskets were really heavy because panay coins. And that was the early days. And the early days, if you had about 100 members that come to church, that was considered a mega church. So when I was pastoring Baguio, that was like a mega church because I had about 150 that went there. And then most of the churches in the provinces were probably about 20, 30. Kaya pag nagre-report kami, it was so funny. When we would report, si Pastor Jun Escosar, kasi he would be in charge of our meetings, a pastor's meeting. And he would always tell us, everybody give, you know, each one will have a report. Eh, wala kami ma-report kasi kami mga pastor, may report ka. Dapat good news, may good news ka ba? Wala nga. Sisialisan nga mga members namin. So we didn't know what to say. So we made this joke that every time we got the microphone, pag nasa taas na kami, the first thing we will say, our first sentence, great things are happening. So pag sinabi ni Pastor Jonas, great things are happening in the Gupan, tawa na kami lahat kasi alam namin wala. So that was our early days. Kayo, ngayon, high-tech na ngayon eh. I mean, you have everything. I mean, you have you learn so much and you have all the experience of all these pastors and that's why I wish I was in your place where you are now, but anyway, I'm just thrilled that you guys are all here. I'm so amazed that you guys would travel from far places to come here to learn. Anyway, I designed this. The design of this topic will be very. I'm going to be teaching, yes, but it will be, hopefully, if you have any questions, I'd like this time to be a time of interaction, okay? We'll take a break at about 2, and then we'll probably have a 10-minute break, and then we'll hopefully end by 3. Will that be okay? We'll end at 3 so that you can be dismissed early, and then you guys can go back to your provinces. So we would, and I'm not really a fan of long meetings, but anyway, leadership, sustainability. Let's look at this. You have your notes there. So I'd like to look at, in the next few minutes, I'd like to look at the life of John the Baptist and hopefully learn and apply lessons in our respective ministries. The verse, Matthew 11, verse 11, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Despite the greatness of his calling and success of his ministry, at the end of his life, John was offended, disillusioned, and despairing. Although his story contains many truths, I want to concentrate on 8 vital lessons of ministry or leadership sustainability. The first lesson from the life of John the Baptist is found in John chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Let me read that verse. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Like John, every minister of the gospel will have to answer 3 critical questions. The first question that we need to address is this. The first question is this. Are you the Christ? Although all of us realize we are not Jesus Christ, it is easy to get a messianic complex. When a person gets a messianic complex, they begin to believe that they are the hope, even the singular hope for their nation, city, or church, or even individuals. Most of us that are we're all young in the ministry here, and at some point, you will have to learn to answer the question that was posted to John the Baptist. He was asked, "Are you the Christ?" Now you have to understand, John the Baptist was gaining popularity. He was doing all of this. People were wondering who he really is. And you know what? People will admire us for our preaching. In our ministry today, there are many young ministers, young pastors, prolific organizational leadership, prolific in administration, prolific in spiritual leadership. We have a treasure of leaders in our movement. And sometimes if we are young, if we're not careful, sometimes it can get into our heads. And sometimes think that we are better than the people around us. And every time that virus actually comes into our head, pag pumasok sa ulo natin yan, it becomes really dangerous. And it's the funny thing about it, it's very subtle. You don't notice it. And that's why when people were asking John the Baptist, who are you? Are you the Christ? Now, of course, nobody in their right mind will ever claim I'm Jesus Christ. But sometimes we could have this messianic complex, meaning that we could be the answer to people's problems, that we are the answer to the church, we are the answer to this nation. And let me tell you, every time that comes into our brain, comes into our mind, danger begins to come in. Because the reason why it's dangerous, because we think we're better and then we end up becoming unapproachable. And we end up becoming uncorrectable because we think that we know more than everybody else. When I was pastoring in Baguio, we had this staff who was not a Filipino, because the church in Baguio was uniquely planted. It was planted by Rice Brooks, Junis Cusar, and then Rice Brooks. So we had international, the Australians were there. So we had different international staff, and I was the pastor there. We had this girl in church who had fantastic voice, ganda ng boses during praise and worship. You know, I would hear her sing from the background, and I would say, wow, ganda ng boses. So after the service, we would say, greet the person right next to you. I went to her and basically asked her, would you like to be part of the worship team? Because I've been seeing her. Sabi ko, maybe it might be good for you to, you know, to audition for our worship and all of that. Sagot niya sa akin alarmed me. Sabi sa akin, okay, pastor, but let me ask permission first from my disciple. Sabi ko, who's your disciple? This girl, you know, part of my staff. Okay. I took that. Sabi ko, okay, maybe nagkamali lang, maybe that was her, pero I let it go. And so there was one time I wanted to meet my wife, to have a meeting with her, to sit her down, to get to know her. I asked her again, would you want to have dinner or lunch? We would invite you. Sagot niya na naman sa akin, let me ask permission first. Parang, let me ask permission from my discipler. So sabi ko, and then I asked her again, now can we go somewhere and I'd like you to show you something. Ganun na naman sagot sa akin, can I ask my discipler? So that I got so alarmed already. And then so I started going, I got to the discipler. Sabi ko dun sa discipler, I noticed that this girl, she's good, she could sing, and I really want her to be in the worship team. Sagot sa akin yung Amerikana, sabi sa akin, let me pray about it, gumon sa akin. Sabi ko, why are you the one gonna pray for her? Sabi niya, because I'm the one discipling her. I'm in charge of her. So everything she does, it has to go through me. Sabi ko, really? They alarmed na ako. So I told her, I'm gonna talk to her. I'm gonna have a meeting where we're gonna counsel her. Guess what? The day that I met her, I was gonna meet her, she went to that meeting place and stopped me there. You can't meet her. So why? Because I'm not allowing it. I can't have you meet her. And to make the long story short, she left the church. And she was bitter, and she actually brought this girl and a few girls with her when she left the church. Now, what happened to her? What happened to her was that she started to believe that she was the lone answer to that person's life. She started to own people. And discipleship becomes, we believe in discipleship, but When we disciple people, we don't disciple people to us. We point people to Christ. So if our discipleship and our leadership style is causing people to look to us rather than on Christ, there's something wrong in our leadership, in our discipleship. Because every true leadership and discipleship is always geared towards helping people see Christ, not us. It's not about us. It's about Christ. It's about them following Jesus, not following us. Now, iba yan pagka born again, bagong born again Christian yan, when they start to, you know, when they're baby Christian, they ask us all these questions, right? You know, should we do this, should we do that? The initial stages, I tell them what to do. But later on, as they grow in Christ, I purposely sometimes do not tell them answers that what they need to do, especially when they are adults. And I don't give them the answers because I tell them, why don't you pray first and find out what God is telling you and then come back to me. You have to understand that when we disciple, when we lead people, we are to lead them to Christ and we are to help them discern the voice of God for their lives. So we're there to guide them and help them in every way we can. So that was the first question that they ask him, are you the Christ? And sometimes we can have this messianic complex. Any comments with that the first, I don't know, anything that you can add or say or anything? Any examples like that you have in your church? Huwag na kayo mahiya, kayo naman, no? Yes, Kicks.
Any practical, for example, we are leading our staff. And usually whatever it is, for example, whatever the program, for example, there's a worship night, the program, the word, they would have to run it with us, right? So parang how do we...
Oh, okay.
Paano hindi siya magiging parang kinokontrol na sila or something?
Yung iba naman yun, staff yun. They're part of your... parang authority. I'm talking about more of the when you disciple people that are not part of your staff. Iba yung staff kasi yung staff, they're paid under you and it's not naman life decisions, it's more staff decisions, organizational decisions. That's fine. You know, you're supposed to tell them, kailangan natin gawin to and, you know, and stuff like that. That's fine. I guess what I'm trying to talk about is sometimes when we disciple people, and when people begins to own people, the yung parang off limits, you know, sometimes like that, yung parang off limits yung tao niyan kasi tao ko yan. You know, we can't own people when it comes to that. That's good. Anybody else? Comments? Do you see that tendency always? Do you see that sometimes in your church? Or the people that you, you know, because in the early days, that was a big thing also. We had a misunderstanding sometimes because I think the motive was good, but sometimes we didn't realize we were hurting people than actually helping them. And so sometimes that could happen. Noel, you lifted up your hands? No. Okay.
Meron sa Pastor Joe, you know AMS, right? Yung maliit na babae.
Yes.
Yung group niya sa Victory Group would post pictures after ng Victory Group nila. We are the, parang yung, kasi under sila kay AMS, parang Amorites, parang ganun. We are the Amorites. And parang lang ako na ano ba, na I corrected them na, you are disciple of Christ, you're not disciple of AMS. So yun lang yung sa akin, parang kinurekol lang sila ba.
That's good. You, yes.
Just a follow-up to what Noel is saying. Because we're really we're really into discipleship. Sometimes it would be good for us to call the people we're discipling not our disciples but our follow-ups. So yeah. Yung ganung tension lang.
Yeah. Ako at saka I never introduce them. This is my disciple, you know. You need to go in a public place because I hear people say do that. Joe, this is my disciple. You know, I'm discipling him. I don't never introduce people like that. So anyway, we don't own people. We're there to really help them follow Christ. And I think, Noel, I think that's a good thing. Because I think people respect disciples so much. And I think people have a healthy respect for them. But sometimes it gets into the head of the disciple that they actually want it. Because it feels good when people look up to you and they run to you. And sometimes as leaders and pastors, we have to discern when it's becoming like a cliquish club that they can't leave that group because we're blood, you know, we're blood brothers. I'm not gonna leave you forever. We're gonna be together. And you see, Jesus is Lord. I mean, he's the one that will tell us where to go, what to do. And so that was the first question. Are you the Christ? But the second question, let's move on. The second question that was asked to him, are you Elijah? This is what we call the Elijah syndrome. You guys are familiar with that story, diba? When he was hiding, you know, Elijah was, you know, he had this encounter. He beat up had the prophets of Baal killed. And then later on, he got a letter from Jezebel and that I'm going to kill you. And then he starts running away and he's ended up being in the cave. And then when the Lord started to speak to him, and then he began to tell the Lord, Lord, I am the only one left. But the Lord in verse 18 said, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. You know, I realize there were thousands of people that did not bow down, but Elijah did not know them. Elijah was very good in his vertical relationship with God, but very weak in his horizontal relationship with other people. A lot of leaders are very good with God, but very weak horizontally, very weak with the leaders. They have no idea who's right next to them. And so sometimes we are so oblivious with the people around us because we're so focused upward, but we never learn to develop the people around us. And so that's why sometimes you don't know who's with me. We don't know who's there with you, who's supporting you, who's backing you up. It's because yun nga, you know, we're and then we end up, I'm the only one left. And so do we see ourselves as that, as we're the only ones there? Anybody here ever felt like you're all alone in your city? Anybody here felt that you're the only one in your church or in your staff that understand what's going on? And sometimes you don't share what's the burden in your heart. Anybody here ever get frustrated with your staff? Anybody here, you there's some staff that you just don't want to see them. I think that happens all the time. And it's always hard to work with staff, you know. That's why our job is to inspire them. Our job is to be able to lift them up. But that was a question that was asked. Are you the Elijah? Are you the prophet? The third question is this: Are you the prophet? If we somehow believe that our revelation and inspiration supersedes that of everyone else, we are setting ourselves up for failure and destruction. That's why I really love our leaders here. Pastor Steve, man, I'm telling you, Pastor Steve is the most approachable leader that I know. He's the president, and we can, you know, anybody here ever tried experiencing talking to Pastor Steve? I mean, he will always, Jerome knows this very well, he's one of the guys that you can talk to anytime, the easiest person to talk to, but he's firm. He's a leader. He'll tell you to your face what's wrong, but he's a guy who will not kind of look down on you just because you're just a pastor in Timbuktu or in a small city. He's always approachable. And the funny thing about leaders, especially when it gets into their head, they feel like the only person that they can associate with are people that are in high position. And sometimes all the rest are all small and they're just big. Do you guys know Irwin McManus, the pastor in L.A.? Not Every Nation, but he pastors a church called Mosaic. He's written numerous books like Barbarian Way, Unstoppable Force. Anybody know? Anybody have heard of Irwin McManus? Yeah, he's one of my favorite speakers, and I listen to him aside from our Every Nation guys. I listen to him. So during my MPD days, I would go to his church in L.A., Pasadena. So I would go to his church, and I came in late. Probably the church was in one service would be about 1,200 people. So I'd sit there and hear him preach. after preaching, after his preaching, I was so surprised because after preaching, I approached him. After he preached, I approached him and I shook my hands. The moment I shook my hands, the first thing he said, I saw you back there and I knew you. It was your first time. Gumanon siya sa akin. And then he started to conversing with me, and then he began to ask me. He said, "Where are you from? I'm a Filipino, but I'm a missionary to Malaysia, Penang, Malaysia." Oh, Penang! My associate was just there, so he calls Eric Bryant, his associate pastor, the guy that wrote Peppermint Piñatas. Anyway, he introduced me to his associate pastor, and we shook hands, with a small talk, and we started talking. And then I left. I said, "I gotta go." And then when I left, the surprise was when I left. Because when I left, the usher that met me in the door knew my name. And he said, "Pastor Jojo from Malaysia, we're so glad that you are here." He knows my name. And then when I went to the basement parking, the people that were directing traffic, he said, "Pastor Henson, Pastor Jojo Henson from Malaysia, you know, so we're so glad that you're here for the first time. I hope you come back." And then I went towards the car. Somebody there just helped me, guided me inside the car and said, "Pastor Henson, we're glad that you came. We hope you come back." And I left driving my car. Gosh, what a network of people that the pastor, it starts with the leader. And the leader was so approachable. The leader took my name, remembered it, and broadcasted my name to all the ushers and leaders so they all knew my name. That's... Sabi ko, "Lord, that's the leadership that I'm talking about." I went to another church as well in California. And I met the speaker. The speaker is a very, very popular speaker. Very good speaker. And, heard him preach. And normally, guys that are big shots, after preaching, they go right away. You know, sometimes it's hard to talk to them because they go right away and nobody can really talk to them. But this speaker, right after he preaches, he goes down on stage and he's written books, and guys would come up to him and he would sign the books, and then he would talk to them. I would say probably 30 seconds to a minute, he would talk to them. And then I said, "Because baka hindi ako kausapin ito." So I approached him. "Hi, my name is, I'm from Malaysia. I shook my hand." And he started to talk to me. He started to talk to me about Muslims. Started to talk to me. I probably talked to him for 2 minutes. This big guy, this big speaker. His name is Bill Johnson. And he shook his hand, and he started conversing with me. Short guy. He's not really that tall. He's really a short guy. And sabi ko, "Wow, what a leader." And sometimes, the reason why I'm saying all of this is because sometimes as leaders, the bigger we get, I hope our hearts remain loving towards people and loving towards God. I hope that the bigger we get, it doesn't get to our heads and begin to feel like we're bigger than life, that we're bigger than everybody. "Ha, look at this, and you know, the attendance of my church." The funny thing about when I was a pastor, when I was in, whether in Dagupan or Baguio, I attend the pastor's meeting. You know what? The first question they'll ask me is who my name. And the second question they'll ask me, "Ilan tao sa church mo?" Because it's all, your worth and identity is always connected to how many people go to your church. And that's why when I introduce people, I don't tell them the number of people. It's a victory. I don't even play the people that come into our church. Because every time you say that, "Oh, we have 80,000 people now in Victory." Yes, there's like it's almost like the respect and all of that. But it's not the picture of who you are. It's not. Any comments? Sige, ayun yung mga kausapin. Ako na lang. I'll talk to myself na lang. Anybody want to say something? No one. Okay. Okay, yeah.
excuse me. You mentioned about not bragging about the number of people, but we all know that we are counting the number of people. So how could you...
I think internally, counting the people in terms of discipleship, and I think that's good for record's sake, but the counting for the sake of identity and pride, I think that's a different type of counting. I think it's counting because you want to boast, that's different, versus counting because we want to focus on what really matters and what counts. That's why if we count disciples and we count people that were trained, that's good, because that means it's a gauge for us, or it's a measure for us that we're doing what we're supposed to do. So you understand the difference? There's a difference when we count towards our ego versus counting because we want to measure what God has called us to do. Yes. So I hope you get the number two lesson. Cultivate consistency, honesty, and humility. In John chapter 1, oh, by the way, number 1 was build biblical self-perceptions. Know who you are. Like John the Baptist, he said, Lord, may you increase while I decrease. And I hope that would always be our mantra, that Christ be increased and we decrease. Lesson number 2, cultivate consistency, honesty, and humility. In John 1:20, he did not fail to confess, but confess freely, I am not the Messiah. Do we have the courage to confess who we are not? It is easy to pretend to be somebody we are not. John consistently resisted the temptation of ego, pride, and arrogant independence. One reason why we fail to confess who we are not is because of fear. You know, I think it was our session yesterday when we were having a time with Paul Barker. I think one of the things that we talked about is learning to be vulnerable, learning to be open about your weakness. You know, sometimes the reason why a lot of people are afraid to really confess who we are not is because we fear rejection. We fear that people will look down upon us, and we feel like people will not listen to us when we confess. Of course, how many we all have weaknesses, okay? And I think this is a good place where we can actually be open or be free to tell one another our weak points or our shortcomings. But of course, there are people outside that you don't blurt out everything that's out there. But I think there are places and legitimate places where we can actually be open enough to tell or be vulnerable. Did you know that people follow us not because we're so good? People follow us because we are willing to show our human side. And that is also true for children, for our, you know, I have 5 kids. Anybody here ever did anything wrong to your kids? Anybody here spank your kid and you did not listen first to all the facts and you ended up spanking your kid first and then you realize you spanked your child for the wrong reason? That ever happened to you? Man, that happened to me a number of times. That pinalo ko yung anak ko tapos sabi ng misis, pinapalo yan, hindi naman siya yung isa. And so, man, I'm telling you, that is so heartbreaking. Because nakita ko yung mukha ng anak ko, si Joe, I saw his face. He was really broken. And really, to the point, he was angry because, ako pa nang pag nagpalo, talagang masakit. And I really spanked him. But he was really in a corner. And then, man, I had to go to him and knelt down. And I really had to say, you know, Joe, I did not listen. Papa's bad in listening. And I just want you to know, Joe, I apologize. I'm sorry. Will you forgive Papa? And right there, he said, he looked at me. He said, Pop, I forgive you. And then he embraced me. It was okay. Now that they're in their 20s, when we talk about it, and then sometimes I ask them, what do you think, anything good that Papa did for you guys? You know, I would tell them, I would ask them anything that was good. And then they would jokingly, Pa, you remember you spanked me? It wasn't my fault naman, you spanked me, you know. And then Pa, he would say, Pa, one thing I appreciate about you is that you are able to humble yourself and even admit your fault. And then sabi ko, really? And sometimes that's hard. How many know sometimes it's hard to admit our faults to our staff, to our team? Because sometimes we feel like we may appear weak. But in reality, people respect you or follow you more because they realize tao ka rin pala. I want to say amen. And people actually respect you not because of your not because you're perfect, but because you are human, because you are a person that they can run to or be open to. They can just be open to you and be comfortable with you. And that's a type of leadership. So that was number two principle, is that he said cultivate consistency, honesty, and humility. Especially when preaching, you know, when I preached in Mekawayan last Sunday, and the topic. How many here? You had a fun time preaching about sex. I'm telling you the truth. That was hard to preach. It was preaching sex. So when I looked at the topic, I said, God, how do you preach sex? Especially when you failed in that area, and I'm a failure in that area. And I didn't want to come across that because, Lord, I didn't want to come across that. Parang, if you're a sex addict, you know, parang the thing, pero, tayo rin, I was like that eh. And so sabi ko, and so when I was preaching, man, the compassion of God came upon me, as Pastor Rui, when I was there, to identify with them, I just had to tell them, I know sex destroyed because it destroyed my life. Destroyed my family, destroyed my life. And I told them, but God saved me. He raised me up in this area. So sabi ko sa kanila, if you're here today and you're going through that, I have good news for you. God can raise you up the same way He raised me up. There's hope for you. And so when you start, even your preaching, you start to share with them your weakness and what you went through, it opens up their hearts and tell them, wow, man, if this guy went through something and he was okay, so parang na-inspire pa sila versus pag binanata mo na, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you know, if you're going to ganun, talagang hindi sila magbubukas. Talagang they end up, you know what I'm talking about? And so it's always good to constantly really show the human side of you, because that's the. Am I making sense? Any comment with that? Any comment? Please talk to me so I'll feel secure. Anyone want to say something?
So we're just to encourage our pastors from the provinces in connection with humility. To tell you the truth, Pastor Jojo, I was having second thoughts in if actually you will say yes to the invitation, because ewan ko, parang we have that I don't know provincial mindset, I guess, na parang saka na lang natin sila invite pag mas malaki na yung church natin. Parang ganun, di ba? I mean, that's the truth. Padamihin muna natin yung, or pag mas malinis na yung center. Pero, pag nakalipat na tayo. Pero the truth is, they can actually help us a lot when they see the center. When we had lunch with Pastor Jojo, we asked him the brutal facts. What do you think? How can we improve? And actually learn from him more during the lunch than when he visited us. But sometimes the reason we don't want to is parang may false humility in our part na nakakayahan naman, invite natin si Pastor Gilbert, tayo-tayo na lang mag-invite dito ang mga provincial. And I guess that's part of humility, if we will just, you know, parang, eto kami, if we're really a starting church, a church plant of 60, 80, I think in their part, They would gladly say yes if they have the time. Eh. And I'm saying this because of what we experienced last Sunday. I think no one would really say no to us. Huwag naman yung parang bukas na kagad, tapos Davao pala. Eh, parang, pero if given the time, I think they'd really be excited to go.
Oh yeah. Most of the pastors here in Manila, they'd love to help. And actually, hindi naman provincial thinking lang yun. Eh. I mean, even anyone. Parang sa bahay nyo rin, anybody here feel like sometimes you don't want to invite people in your house because you don't want people to see how your house looks? because parang hindi pa, you know, Jerome knows this, sometimes it's hard to invite people. Because wala, you know, I had no sofa whatsoever in my house. You know? So wala akong maimbita. And finally ngayon may sofa, pwede na mag-imbita. Pero sometimes diba, we think that way. But I think that point that we're talking about, be willing to confess who you are not. And it's okay. I learned that from Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve is, even with Jim Lafoon, grabe si Jim Lafoon. When Jim Lafoon, when we had our staff meeting, when we had our time here with the prophets, he said something that really opened our heart. Natawa kami lahat eh. Sabi niya, you know, I'm a prophet. I hear God. Every nation leadership has asked me to pray and to prophesy. That's all I do. I don't do any strategic meetings. Man, my mind is not strategic at all. I mean, every time there's a strategic meeting, I leave that to Pastor Steve. I leave that to Ado. I leave that to people. But with me, I fall asleep in strategic meetings. Sabi ko natawa ko, oh, it's like me. So in other words, he was willing to confess who he's not and not be, you know, not feel insecure or try to put up a front that, you know. Of course, I'm not saying that you shouldn't learn, but we are to learn. But at some point, we have to know our limitations and know only what we're good at and know the things that we're not good at. So, yun lang. I guess it's, does that make sense? Okay, so I just wanted to say that. Number three, let's look at number three. Yeah, sure.
Do you think there's a limit of you being too honest or too revealing of yourself or
yes.
being too humble?
Yes, especially the people you talk to. The people depends on. In the congregation, when you preach, you only reveal what would help them at that present moment. Like what I did last Sunday. But in a relational issue, there are people that you have close circle of friends that they know who you are. And there are another group of people, there's always a limit how much they know about you. It doesn't mean that you blurt out every weakness. Like with Jure. Jure is one of my best friends. Jure, Manny, those guys are really close to me. They know everything about me. But beyond them, there are people that know me, pero not as much as Manny and Jure. Pastor Steve knows me of all. Pastor Steve knows me. So there's some things that he knows that a lot of people may not know. So there are people. So you need to have the wisdom to be able to which, how far do you want to go when it comes to that? So in your Canada, you're leading a leadership group. You only go as far. You only say things that would help them at that moment. Maybe you can identify to whatever they're going through. Then share an area of that with the same issue. That would help them be lifted up. Does that make sense? So yon. Kicks, meron pa? Anyone?
Very quick lang. I have this experience being a young pastor. Sometimes, yung team, when I look at them, sabi ko, Lord, mas magagaling pa to eh. Kumbaga, I have Jojo Agot from Caloocan, theologian yun. So, kung may dapat magpastor siya na lang, but bakit ako? And but then yun yung insecurity that sometimes I have. And then I realize kasi ang tendency ko pag na-insecure ako, I would pretend na alam ko rin yan. Parang I would be insecure na bakit siya yung tinatanong, hindi ako. Ako yung ano, but then I realize na the more I inaano ko sa kanila, yung from the staff, I acknowledge na, alam nyo, hindi ko alam eh, pero anong tingin mo, Jojo, or ano, para, and I think mas, for me, ang nangyari sa akin, mas nawala yung insecurity ko na, and nilagay siya sa team eh, so, it's an addition to the team, not a loss. So, parang, I think yung
That's
natakuha
good.
Ko dito is really that eh, people won't follow you because of what you know, or kung sobrang galing mo, but people will follow if they can see that you know you're vulnerable. You're ano, so
that's right.
In yung application sa akin, being a young ano pastor.
You know what? Reality is there's always going to be people better than us. I think we just have to admit that there are people better than us, better looking than us, but we're the pastor and we're the leader, and so we just have to be secure with who we are and begin to. Anybody have that? Diba? Every church has that. Eh. There's always going to be people that talk too much, no more than us. And that's why maganda yung, I think yung response mo to, you know, I don't know that, as Jojo Agot, I think he might answer more effectively. I think that's good. And actually, when you do that, yung Jojo Agot na yon, or the Jojo Agots in your church will actually feel good and actually respect the leader, because sasabihin niya, yung leader ko, nire-recognize yung gift ko. So that's why when we do that, it actually puts security in the whole team. So, and you also begin to flourish, and they end up following you more because they know you're human. Let's move on. Number three. Anybody any comment so far? Okay. Number three. Lesson number three. See others as God sees them. Sabi ni John the Baptist, I myself did not know him, referring to Christ, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I've seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Now, it's amazing for John to say that, because John grew up with Jesus. They were cousins. But he did not see beyond that until he saw something. It says, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he saw something by the Spirit that cannot be seen through the naked eye. And even though John was related to Jesus, that was not the basis of their relationship. Common history and natural affinity would not be enough to maintain friendship and partnership under the stress and strain of ministry and warfare. What happened to John the Baptist was that the Father told him about Jesus. When we look at people, we have to learn to see them through spiritual eyes. We cannot see them through natural eyes. We have to learn to see them through the Spirit and find treasure in people. You know, I've known, maybe some of you don't know this, but I've known Pastor Jure even before I got saved. I've known Pastor Jure. He was a brother. Did you know that Pastor Jure was a brother of LaSalle, and he was forcing me to join the brotherhood? In fact, I joined the retreat house of LaSalle Brothers, and I met Jure there. I wasn't very good in school. All I did was play basketball. My coach was a brother. And the teachers, they were all going to flunk me. And they were all teasing me, if you become a brother, we'll pass you. So, sabi ko, sige, magbabrother na lang ako para pasado. So, and I joined the brother. I saw Jure there. He was a brother. And he was wearing the white sutana. And I was just so impressed with him. And then the funny thing, after that retreat, I saw him in LaSalle, and I called him, Brother Jure. And then he looked at me, so, hindi na ako brother. Sabi ko, huh? What happened to you? I met Jesus Christ. Sabi ko, weird nito, ha? So I didn't see him for many years. And then I saw him again, and then he tells me that he's part of a church. And I said, what church? And I realized we're part of the same church. Anyway, it was a long story. But what I wanted to say, I knew Jure from before he got saved. He knew me before I got saved. And so now Jure is our bishop. How many here appreciate Pastor Jure? But if I base my relationship with him through the natural eyes, through the way I know him, then I will never see what God has called him to be. Now when I see Jure, I see the hand of God in Jure, the anointing upon his life, the wisdom that comes from him. Man, amazing. Jure is amazing. I've seen Jure grow from glory to glory. And I see the hand of God. I see the dove in him. The same with Pastor Manny. I've met Pastor Manny long, long time ago. I mean, he was the first time he went to church, he was from Virginia. He came to church, and then I just saw him for the first time. And then I saw him grow. Mahilig na siya magsalita, pero he would say this freely. I guess he won't mind me saying this. But every time the early days when he would preach, we would find it so boring because he was, ang haba niya magsalita eh. Ang haba, tapos deep lagi. Pero man, Pastor Manny now, he's amazing. Pastor Manny, he's now our executive. He's now the president of our Victory Movement here in the Philippines. Amazing, the hand of God is upon him. You see, people that we disciple, at some point, you'll have to see them by the Spirit. Because at some point, they will eventually, sometimes, some of them will even overtake us. Is that okay with you? is that okay that when sometimes people will become better, will become bigger, and many times through the strain of ministry, sometimes we fail to see them the way God sees them. And so, ganun rin sa discipleship. When we disciple people, you have to see people what God would do in their lives, the potential in them. It's not enough to see the weakness of a person, but it's good to see, hopefully, through discernment, see the treasure that's within a person. I was reading in my Bible reading this morning about Samuel when he went to visit the house of Jesse. And the first son, Eliab, came, and God said, I have rejected him. And then he said that man looks at the external, but God looks at the heart. And it's a constant reminder as leaders that we constantly need to learn to look at the heart through the spirit rather than externals. The same way with John the Baptist, he knew him, grew up with him, but he said, I did not know him except by this point. I saw the Spirit of God that was rested on him. I knew he was the one. That is powerful to be able to see people through eyes of faith, through the Spirit, and see what God will do in and through their lives. Let's take a break right now. Let's take a... How